Hello and welcome to this week's big show. Yes, we're back. We're back in blue, black, gray, blue. Ben's background is blue, so it must be blue. The show's green. I don't know. Yeah, it's all over the place. I'm your interim host because the interim host is on sick leave. I hope he got a sick note for us. We'll check. We'll check later.
Yeah.
Like, if not, then
Yes.
his pay of nothing will be deducted. So, so yeah, that's
Yes.
not gonna work.
And here in the United States, we don't even accept sick notes, so he will be demerited.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, that will come up on his next performance evaluation for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, we have an awesome panel with us today. And yeah, starting us off, top left, we have the man, the myth, Ian. How are you doing? You're back.
I'm good, thank you. I'm back briefly, and then I'm away again. But yes, I'm back. So yeah, great fun. Work's
Nice.
been busy, busy,
How's
busy.
the summer in England going?
Well, we have some warmth. We have temperatures above 20 degrees.
Wow,
It's a
yeah,
bit
that's
cloudy now. It's a bit
summer.
cloudy now, but it's warm, so that's
Yeah.
good. And
20
next week
degrees,
I'm.
that's like, I mean, that's like short dresses and flip-flops and everything, like.
That's summer for us. We're accepting of these things. And then just because we think that's a bit warm, next week when I go on holiday, I'm going up to Northumberland, which is the northeast coast heading up towards Scotland. Got some of the most beautiful beaches on spoil, lovely, fantastic, but we're getting further north, so it's not as warm. So rain is inevitable, and when the
Well, it
days are
always
warm
is.
there. But it'll be nice to be able to get away. It's a really, we've been many times. It's a beautiful part of the world. So there's that. So I've got one contrast, and then judging by what my colleagues are telling me, I'm going to go. I've got 2 weeks over in Bucharest. Following
Nice.
that is it's going to be about 30 to 40 degrees. Well, it has been at least for some of my colleagues. So I'm looking forward to melting when I get to Romania. So as I said, we wait for about 3 weeks, and then I come back, and I'm going down to London for something else for a long weekend. A bit after that, when my eldest. So, yes, I'm going to be away for a bit. So, anyone wants to fill my seat for a few days, a few
Oh
sessions,
yes.
get in touch with the guys. We more
Yes.
in the Slack room. More than happy to find someone to come and sit here and talk as much rubbish as I do. No
Yeah,
qualifications
that's awesome.
necessary.
I had someone from Hawaii ask about like, "Oh, can I join the Mac show?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And he's like, "What time is that?" And I'm like, "Currently 5 a.m. your time." And he's like, "No, thank
Maybe not.
Yeah.
So yeah, not gonna happen.
But someone feels like joining in for a bit,
Yeah.
then please come fill my seat for a few weeks and I shall be back again. And even hang around after I come back, more the merrier.
Exactly. Speaking of hanging around, our resident I don't even know where my brain was going. Tom, I'm just gonna go with Tom. Sorry.
Yeah,
Resident
resident
retiree, maybe
Tom.
that's where I was going. I don't
Okay, I'm the resident retiree. Is that an official title?
If you want it to be, yes, can
Oh,
be.
I'll take it. I will take it. I'm
How are
doing
you doing?
great. Great, great. The wife and I spent a few days down near Monterey, Pacific Grove.
Nice.
A nice area.
Yeah, it is.
Lots of good beaches. Took a million pictures. Got a lot of steps in. It was a nice break.
You probably saw some like planes and stuff because that's the thing you do, right?
Mostly birds, all kinds of pelicans,
Wow, okay.
black oyster catchers, sea lions, and a ton of otters, a lot of sea otters.
That sounds actually pretty cool, to be honest.
Yeah, they're pretty fun to watch. They go down and they grab the sea urchins and then pop back up and lay on their back and crack them. And yeah, they're pretty cool animals.
That sounds like a really great little vacation for someone
Yeah, it
who
was.
can do that every day, basically.
That's right. I heard somebody say they asked a retiree what name the days of the weeks, and she said two Sundays and five Saturdays.
Oh, that's funny. Speaking of funny, the man with the really cool blue background. Ben, how are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
That is awesome to hear.
Yes. And thank you to Ecamm for making the product that we're making today. You want to sponsor us, don't you?
Oh, yes, I do. I have to reach out to Doc.
Yes.
This is going well, yes.
Yes. Yeah, in fact, when I posted we were testing, Ecamm actually responded right away.
Nice. Wow. Yeah. They're on it.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Yeah, that's really good to hear. Anything fun going on in your neck of the woods? It's probably hot now. I mean, that's usually how it goes. It's really cold in the winter, really hot in the summer.
It's actually right now pretty cold for Iowa.
Wow.
It would be mid-70s, 23 in French units. we just got done with something called a derecho.
Mm-hmm.
To put this in perspective, it is basically we had the equivalent of a Category 1 hurricane.
Wow.
That develops because of all the tropical Florida air we get.
Mm-hmm.
Came right before a very cold front. So basically we had a 70-80 mile wide wind bow.
Wow.
That stretched 500 miles.
Wow. Okay. That
from
is
from Iowa to Indiana. So when everybody was like, "Oh, you're in Iowa, you don't get hurricanes."
That is pretty
close enough.
Pretty crazy.
Close enough.
Yeah. No, I heard from some people going to or that went to Macworld. Not exactly your backyard, but also not that far away. It's all relative, right?
Yeah.
I think Jeff was even coming back from Chicago, and like they had to
the plane.
Yeah, they took them off the plane and had to go to the tornado shelter because there were literally tornadoes around the airport. And I mean, luckily nothing happened, or nothing major at least happened there. But
yeah,
that
were
was
eight
crazy.
Of them in Chicago. Eight to 10 of them in Chicago land at the time.
Yeah, so that was crazy. And then he came back to Colorado, to Denver, and there was a flood warning there. So kind of going from one to the other.
Oh, we have that too. We do not have floods this time of year on the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
We're still in minor flooding.
Yeah. I mean, it's in Europe as well. Like, that's one of the things it's crazy. You think it's summer, but no. Like, in Germany, it's been raining that much that there's, like, I mean, I was going to Munich last week, and there was, like, all the way along the route I was taking by train, I was constantly getting new warnings. Like, oh, in this area is a warning, in this area is a warning, and whatever. So, like, stuff is crazy right now.
Yeah. Really, in July? That's crazy.
Yes. Yeah, it's not normal.
If you guys want to see a crazy warning, look at my Instagram of what the National Weather Service actually sent.
Wait, is there a boulder in your area? No. I don't know. Boulder the size of a boulder?
No, but actually, let me read this for you.
Yes, please do. For the people listening, if you're wondering why we're talking about this and not about the news, it's because literally there's none. So
yes,
let's talk about that.
Yes. This is something that in the news community is called vamping. But okay, here is the alert from Monday. National Weather Service. Severe thunderstorm warning in effect, because there's not a derecho warning yet. Damn it. This area until 6:45 p.m. for destructive, in all caps, destructive 80-mile-an-hour winds. Take shelter in a sturdy building away from windows. Flying debris may be deadly to those caught without shelter.
Wow. So don't go inside, basically.
Yeah, so it's, we're all going to die!
Wow. That is insane. Good. Yes. You know, since we were talking about random stuff, we should start something that we do every year, and we're going to officially kick it off right freaking now. And that is Summer of Fun! Yes, the BTN Summer of Fun is back. Basically, when there is no news to really talk about, nothing where we say, yeah, we should talk about this, this is important, we kick off our Summer of Fun, and it's for the Big Show and the Mac Show, and it lasts until there's news, which, for to be fair, is usually somewhere beginning of September when Apple does their things, and then Microsoft and then Google and everybody else, so... That's kind of how it goes. And the rules for the Big Show, for the Big Show, for Summer Fun are everything goes. We pick a topic, we do whatever we want, we might do cool things, we might not do cool things, we might have random guests on, we might have one or two people on, like, anything goes. There is no format, there is no nothing, we just do whatever feels right. And once a year, we goof off. That's kind of our Summer Fun.
Yes, and we completely came up with this idea ourselves.
Totally
did not. Yeah, totally did not steal it from Relay FM.
No, never, never. I never stole this at all from them at all.
No. We would do stuff like that.
No,
we're broadcasters of integrity.
Exactly. What integrity? What are you talking about? What is integrity even? I don't know.
I heard this thing and people said it was good, so I thought must be it.
Yeah. No. True. Okay. Must be.
You know, people say it's good, so it must be ours.
Yes. So, since it is your suggestion, Ian, what we should talk about today, I want to let you introduce it.
Yep. So, my suggestion was audiobooks, radio plays, stuff we enjoy and love, suggestions along those lines, things to talk about. Mm-hmm. I'm going to kick it off with one that I've loved forever. It was broadcast on the radio in the UK many, many years ago. There was a full cast dramatisation of The Lord of the Rings created by the BBC.
Wow. Okay.
With Ian Holm, Michael Horden, lots and lots of actors you've heard of. Ones that, for the modern guys, Bill Nye.
Ooh, the science guy.
No.
I know. The other one. I know. I just wanted to see if you're paying attention.
Bill Nye, the science guy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's there. Frodo is Ian Holm, which is interesting because if you watch the modern movies, Ian Holm plays Bilbo in the modern movies.
He does.
And yeah, and there's but he's Frodo in these. Michael Horden, famous, a voice that if you've watched old British TV, you will have heard his voice almost in. No, John Demesne, from Dad's Army, the sergeant, he's there. It's a cavalcade of brilliant, brilliant voice actors, and it was built as a drama. It was set up as a dramatization. They did it 30-minute episodes every week, broadcast on the radio, and it's a joy to listen to. As time passed, and of course, they didn't repeat it that often. I heard it first on the radio, weirdly enough, it was being played on a night and called Scare Myself to Death with the Minds of Moria. Listening to that in the dark on your headphones, you know, on a radio, and, you know, and so that was fantastic. But now, that did available on CD, an audio cassette in the day, it used to live in my car, was another one of those things that I've got a slightly sketchy copy on MP3 that lays around, this one of my servers somewhere. But Audible have it. You can buy original copies through Amazon and the usual sort of services. I've dropped a link in the chat for the Audible one because that's the easiest one to get one. And I think it's definitely on Libby as well because I've got it through another, just a sort of, if you've got a library card in pretty much every part of the civilized world, except for Austria, you can access audiobooks, ebooks through this app. One of the things you can do, audiobooks, fantastic. You've got to go in a queue to borrow it like you would a library book, but you can get full set. Again, yeah, even America have library books. They might ban half the books, but you can get library books.
That's true. That is literally true.
But there we go. Nevertheless, Lord of the Rings. Absolutely amazing. There's my opening start for the day. I mean, take a look. I mean, and what they did do with it that I really love is there's a whole section, if you've read the books, there's a character called Tom Bombadil, which made no sense in the original story. And it's edited him out, and it makes no loss to the story. And if you've watched the movies and you come to this, you'll recognize the overall flow of the story as well, because Peter Jackson used the radio play, used Brian Sibley, a guy called Brian Sibley who created it, used the radio play as the format for his films to start branching out and building it. So the layout, the format is very familiar. And it is just a joy. And I listen to it once a year, at least. Nice long walks in the autumn with the headphones on. You can imagine yourself tramping along to Rivendell with the rest of the crew. You know, it's that sort of thing. It's fantastic. There's my starter for 10.
Very nice. The BBC radio plays in general are actually pretty good. Like, it's my uncle was a big fan of the original Hitchhiker's Guide. Like the radio.
Oh, there's another fantastic.
Yeah. I've listened to it like 10, 15 times at least. And he would like sometimes just like, I would visit him, we would have some tea. Like, I would come by for like an hour or something. I was driving somewhere, like maybe go to my mom or whatever. And I would stop by and like have some tea, like hour and a half. And he would put on like a random bit of that. Like, and it was always fun. I mean, very British as well. Like have an afternoon tea. No crumpets or whatever, just tea.
Yeah.
Actually, no. He had some oat cookies. So from the UK. So we had that.
Of course he did.
Of course he did. No, and then we would listen to like some BBC radio play. He recorded them off the radio. Like, he had cassette tapes and stuff like that. And I think he eventually burned them on CD or something. So
yeah. Hitchhiker's Guide is another one from the same.
Mm-hmm.
The same sort of ethos, very much, of being created out of completely full cast production. And for me, it's better than the TV show. I prefer that over the TV show, the audio one, which reminds me, I haven't listened to that for a ton of time. That might have to get downloaded and listened to. It's probably, I mean, we know it's the other one, that big, the one we just mentioned is on the Internet Archive, so you can listen to it for free.
Yes. Yeah, the Internet Archive, but honestly, I mean, pay for it. It's probably better quality, and you support the I think even to this day, you'll support the BBC and probably some of the creators as well. So
yeah,
it's definitely worth doing that. Yeah, that's very, very cool. By the way, did you put in the link? I didn't see that.
I dropped one in. Did I hit enter or did I not hit enter? Oh, I did hit enter. Good.
Ah, okay.
Yes. You threw in the one, and I dropped in one for...
Yeah. Audible. For some reason, for me, it's not showing as a link. That's why I was asking.
If you click on Audible at the.co.uk at the end, does it take you there? No.
No, I don't think that's... I think this is just formatted text. It's not Audible. So
it is.
If you could put in the link so that we find it.
I will drop it in just a moment.
Okay. All good.
I will paste without format. No, that's not that.
All good. Yeah, it's. I mean, I think in general the BBC has done some really interesting radio plays over the years, and I mean, they've been pretty great. But I mean, Lord of the Rings, that is, I don't know how many hours, but probably like, thank you.
Each one is about 4 hours, and then they did the complete trilogy, so everything.
So 12 hours ish.
I mean, it's complete. It's complete with singing of songs and everything as well. The other thing I should say, the songs that you read in the books are sung, you know, and so you really do get a feel. And because it's radio play, you get a sense of being in the pub. You get a sense of being out in the world. You get a sense of being in Rivendell, and it's fabulous.
That is pretty fantastic. Yeah, I mean, the songs are pretty good and infamous as well. So. It's actually pretty cool that you can do that. Yeah, I mean...
So there's an audible link in there now. Hopefully that will be clickable.
Yeah. No, that works. I tried it. You just have to make sure, because Audible will redirect you to the country site that you say, no, I want to go back to the original, and then it will take you there. It's not all good.
Yeah.
It's just Amazon being Amazon, as always.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you're in the UK, Amazon.
Amazon. Amazon. Amazon. Amazon. Amazon. Amazon. Amazon. It sounds weird for me when Amazon. It sounds weird when people say it rather than Amazon.
I'm trying to remember, what do they say in Germany? I think they say Amazon.
Really?
So, yeah, I'm at Seoul.
Wow.
Yavol.
Yavol.
Exactly.
Yavol. Amazon.
Das Amazon. Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Who is like any other suggestions for?
I have one.
Sure, go for it.
I have a couple, but I'm gonna go first with the at least in America the OG, which is the War of the Worlds from Orson Welles from 1938.
Yes.
And to me, that was always when I was growing up as a kid. I don't know where I guess they played it on radio occasionally. But it was a generational thing because it was broadcast in 1938. And so my parents were in, you know, like their teens at the time. And so it was interesting talking to them about if they, you know, the whole story about War of the Worlds was Orson Welles did this play about a Martian invasion in New Jersey. And some people thought it was real.
It was real. Yeah.
I think some of the stories about people going crazy are a little bit, they stretched the truth a little bit, but people definitely were calling the police and doing all kinds of crazy things. But it was interesting to talk to my parents about when they listened to it and, you know, their neighbors and stuff talking about it. It was really interesting. So, I mean, it was a very different world, you know, 90 years ago, that it was more believable 90 years ago than today.
Yeah, they did not have the internet or even TV. Right. So radio is all they had.
Yeah, and so you're sat around the radio listening to this coming through, going through the speaker. And you're...
Well, if you listen to it and you compare it to, you know, what were news broadcast in 1938, Orson Welles' group did a really good job of kind of copying the feel and the way that reporters would talk. So, I mean,
radio was massive back then. I mean, TV didn't exist. Movies were a thing, but you would go rarely because it was expensive and you had to sit there. So radio was it. Like that was where people got their news and got some of their entertainment from. So that was big.
Yeah, I'm sure a huge percentage of the American population was listening to that broadcast.
Did NPR do radio plays and things like that back in the day as well?
Everybody did.
I think, yeah, everybody. Well, that's where it came from.
As well, I suppose there's things that sort of me for British thinking of American radio, we're thinking of RKO and things like that, those kind of famous sort of symbols you'd see.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, NPR has only existed since about 1970, I think.
Oh, it's newer than I thought it was then. No, it's newer than I thought it was. I thought,
but there was CBS, NBC, ABC, RKO. They all had networks, and then local stations did a lot of things too.
Yeah, I mean the original Superman was a radio series.
Right,
that's true.
Yeah, they're really fun to listen to. That's a good one.
I was just googling some and see Star Wars was made into a radio dramatization.
Yes,
I don't know how terrible it is.
So anyway, I had to. If we're going to talk about radio plays, I had to mention what, at least for me, was the OG War of the Worlds.
Absolutely.
War of the Worlds. There've been. I have never listened to the radio play, but there've been some decent movies about it. So yes. If you're into sci-fi, like in the whole sci-fi genre, if you're into that. Yeah, it's definitely worth checking out the radio play, the books, or one of the movies.
Or, of course, Jeff Wayne. Who can forget Jeff Wayne? War of the Worlds soundtrack.
It's true.
Is there anything coming from Mars or a million to one?
I mean,
still they come and all that.
If you think about it, it has inspired quite a few of like more modern adaptions, right? You could probably say it probably started much of the modern sci-fi genre.
Yeah. I mean, just look at The Quiet Place.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at much of what's gone on since H.G. Wells wrote Time Machine, War of the Worlds, and all
that's
of those.
True.
He is the spark that has created everything mm-hmm. else that follows on.
Yeah.
I mean Star Wars is cowboys in space, isn't it, really? Star Trek as well, you know, and but that's something that is true sci-fi kind of thing. It is all coming from the roots of that, where fantasy roots are coming from, again, mostly fairy tale, and then Lord of the Rings is definitely, and The Hobbit are definitely sort of those progenitors of that style of genre.
It's amazing how much of Wells imagined went from science fiction to science fact.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
I mean, literally SS 571 USS Nautilus was named after the person who basically 10,000
Leagues
Under the Sea. Oh, yes. Another good one. Yeah.
Nemo submarine. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Another really good one. So I'm going to throw in one that I think is pretty cool. It's a whole series of books, and I've mentioned it before. Let's see, why can't I paste that? It's not letting me. I think the link is just...
The first is banned from our own show.
No, I think that's actually... The link is just way too long. I don't know. It's really strange.
Well, it didn't have a problem with Ian's link.
That is true. Okay, now it works.
There we go.
Now it works. So this is on Audible. This is 7 or soon to be 17 books. I moved off of Audible. This is an Audible exclusive, unfortunately. There's a new book coming in September, and I cannot wait. So I don't remember.
Skippy is getting a cut.
Skippy is definitely getting a massive cut, just with all the like merchandise and whatever they're selling. So this is something I don't even remember who recommended it to me originally. I had never heard of it, and it's basically the story is, so Earth is. Like, has discovered there's aliens. There was like a spaceship that like crashed, and then there was like a war where like some attack on Earth happened. I mean, not war really, because Earth had nothing to defend itself, but there was some attack, and basically aliens took over Earth. And there is a interplanetary war happening with other species, higher level species. They're way more advanced. Like, I mean, it's kind of like if you try to explain quantum science to amoebas, that's kind of the dead level. That's what we are, basically. or quantum physics to amoebas, not quantum science. And it's, so there's like a war, and or like Earth is kind of, we're sending some grunts. That's mostly it. We're cannon fodder. It's not much we can do, but at least we can provide that. And on, like, there's stuff happens, really interesting. They're on a planet full of hamsters, or that's what they're called. They kind of look like hamsters, supposedly. And then the main protagonist, Joe Bishop, discovers a beer can, or what looks like a beer can, and is really a super, super, super advanced AI. Like, more advanced than any other race out there, but also kind of an asshole. And kind of also damaged, so it's kind of like not operating on full awesomeness, but still probably the most awesome thing in the whole universe. And over 17 books then, by at least late September it will be 16 by now, there's tons of adventures and like humanity kind of pairing up with the beer can and trying to keep it a secret and kind of showing the others that we're not as stupid as they thought, with the help of a super advanced AI.
I've got that book in my Kindle library, mm-hmm. and I'm wondering why I had it, and now I know, because you recommended it another time.
Oh, that's probably why.
And so, I'll get around to reading it again. Like,
So this is a whole series. I mean, you would think, oh, like 16 books, like, oh, that sounds like a lot, and like, why would I even start it? And it can't be any good, right? Because... like, who can keep up a story that long? And reality is, it is that good. I bought all of them on, like, Black Friday. I think I bought most of them because they were, like, $4 or $5, I think. and I listened to them back to back to back. I could not stop.
And it's the same storyline throughout all 17 books?
Kind of, yeah. It's the same universe. I mean, it's kind of the same.
Same universe,
the
same.
There's
yeah,
like
the
main people don't change. Like, it's always Joe Bishop and the beer can. There's some right. people around it, like on the spaceships and so on. There's like other people that come and go and whatever over the books. But there's kind of a core crew, I would say. It's kind of like a Star Trek thing. Like, there's a core crew and they're having adventures, basically. And stumbling around with, as I said, not understanding even, like, what was it? Like, I think they tried at some point to understand how a doorknob on their super advanced spaceship works. And they were struggling with the physics of just a simple doorknob. So that's the level of our understanding that we're at. So
yeah. I like the fact that the author was an IT person whose wife mm-hmm. encouraged him to start self-publishing yes. his stories. Now he's yeah. one of Amazon's top 10 best-selling science fiction writers, American yes. science fiction writers.
And
it's
for
a success
yeah.
story.
Really good reason. Yeah. Like, it's really that good. But yeah, you can tell that he has some IT background because, like, it's
yeah.
that good. Yeah.
Because he's always grepping yeah. stuff.
No, but he does understand computers a little bit. And not humans, not so much. That's why he pairs up really well with an AI. With an asshole yeah, AI. So
that might be once I finish this next book, I think that's next in my queue then. I shall bring that one. I've got plenty of flights and plenty of points where I can sit yeah. and read a book. So I think I shall yeah. push that one up my queue. That sounds like one definitely to be.
Yeah. And I mean with soon 17 books, there is actually one, maybe I should mention that since we talked about it, there's one book that is a radio play. So they did for one book, it's a little bit it's a supplement, it's not one of the core 17, there's a supplemental book basically, like an in-between story that's a full-on radio play.
It looks like there's some .5
yes.
you know, goes 1, 2, 3 and then 3.5. I love
yes.
that
those are supplementals that he wrote. And this one is
intermediate.
Yeah,
release.
Those are kind of. And those
bug
are
fix.
Radio. There's one. No, it's not a bug fix. It's literally the add-on story to like the main storyline. But this is a radio play, and that's really good. So, I said highly recommend that. It's just it's fun.
Cool. Yes,
it's just a fun. It's a fun series, and I like sci-fi. So. I said, and I mean, the beer can, it's just, it's the right combination of funny because of all the shenanigans the beer can Skippy goes into, and like, they're all the pranks and, let's say, illegal or somewhat illegal things he pulls. And I mean, he's an asshole. He doesn't really have morality in any traditional sense. He doesn't think about stuff like that. He's like, sure, like I should basically buy the entire earth because why not, right? Stuff like
that. Well, I love that the AI is in a beer can or in
yeah.
something that looks like a beer
yeah.
can.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean, they're like they start dressing up the beer can and stuff like that. So there's some fun and comments, and like the beer can likes to embarrass Joe Bishop a lot of times. So like he'll do like things that we know and have today as well now, that you can do like live changes to videos. He does, and like there will be like a super important speech, and he's streaming it in the ship, and then he's doing it as like an elephant or something, stuff like that. So it's like there's sci-fi, there's a bit of action, and then there's the whole like comedy
yeah,
aspect
that,
of it.
That's got pushed up the list, and I might just download it on the Kindle for my holidays.
Yeah, so that's one of my absolute all-time favorites. I was so hoping there would be another book, and I just saw and I checked out the link that there's number 17 coming up. And unfortunately, Audible, you will get some more of my money because I will get that.
Yes.
So this guy has been...
Filthy Monkeys.
Yes.
He's been writing since for 8 years, since 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So he's done basically two books a year.
Two books a year. I mean, that is pretty, wow. And they're all good. It's not that you're like, oh, like whatever, oh, he's phoning it in and whatever, releasing the same story, like Star Wars, releasing the same story over and over and over and over. No, like it's a continuous story for sure. It's a continuous universe, right. But it's, he just keeps going.
That takes discipline.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yes. And in the same amount of time, my grandparents' former name or George has been writing Winds of Winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Other people take years to write one book and he does like two good books a year. So
I guess Andy Weir has a story that's a little bit like this guy.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Kind of an overnight sensation.
A little bit. Yeah. Project Hail Mary was kind of like that. A little bit.
Yeah, it wasn't that great.
I actually liked it.
It was okay.
It was okay. It wasn't the best, but it was okay. I mean, sure, The Martian is hard to beat, but
yeah, that's tough when your first book is so successful. Yeah. Then you have to follow it up.
Yeah, exactly. So, who hasn't had one? I think it's you, Ben, right?
You not notice me waving?
No, I saw you waving.
Guy raising his hand?
I saw you waving.
First, I would like to notice something that Ian talked about. Libby.
Very good.
Whether it is books or audiobooks or basically anything else that... I mean, I think they might have video on that app too. I don't remember. But before you go to the dark gods of Amazon,
Ian, yes.
Definitely check out Libby first, because all the payment you need is this right here.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, library card. Yeah, Libby's great.
Yeah,
Libby is great. Libby is just another one of those. My wife uses it tons. Yeah.
And I mean,
when she walks, she likes audiobooks. And there we go, Libby app link in the chat.
Ian, I put the link in there.
Yeah.
Look up two above.
there's another link. Excellent.
That's funny.
But okay. Now that we have got our not sponsor, TSO host, we haven't forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about independent audio productions. And this one is very self-serving because my friend Natalie plays a character named Petra Van Zandt in it.
Nice.
Or not Van Zandt. Van Damme.
Oh, like John Ford?
Yeah. Oh, the funny part is I actually photoshopped a picture of Nat's head on the body of JCV doing the splits.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
But this one is called Somebody Knows. It's on Apple Podcasts and perhaps others. But I only do one.
Mm-hmm.
It is a murder mystery that kind of settles around small town North American politics. Basically, who's involved in the cover up? The central character is a true crime podcaster who ends up getting caught in a true crime in her own hometown. It is really well done. And now that I've given up on it, since it's been 3 years, I was kind of hoping they would eventually do more seasons. But the 1 8-episode season of this, I thought is fantastic. Mm. And it's really an example of all the great things creatives did when they had a hell of a lot of time on their hands during COVID.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it's based on a real story?
No, it's...
Oh.
It's the character is a fictional true crime podcaster.
Right.
I mean, they're kind of modeled after probably some of the real ones out there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Most fiction has basics, in fact. But it's one of those, when it came out, I was waiting every week for 2 months for the next episode, each week.
Mm.
That's pretty cool.
Yep, I could not wait to see how it ended.
Let me guess, someone got killed. No.
Somebody got arrested.
I'm going to go horribly. Yeah.
Horrible, horrible.
I will not spoil it.
Good. Don't do that. Yeah, I'll have to go. I'll have to check it out.
Satisfying and very satisfying ending that I can completely grilled one of my best friends about.
That's funny.
Can I do one more?
Yeah, sure.
No.
We've got a couple of minutes. We can do one more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's give you a magnificent allowance.
My second one is a podcast of basically radio plays called The Truth. It's from Radiotopia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they actually finally wrapped it up in the last year or two, but it started way back in like 2012. And so it went for like 10 years. So there's tons and tons of episodes, and they're all about 20, 30 minute. And they're 20 and 30 minute podcast, and they're basically just radio plays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all different subjects. Almost a year ago, exactly. July 7th. July 13th last year. So pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Is that
that's good. That's a lot.
Company.
His show is on Radiotopia. No.
He might be
on Radiotopia, but it's a podcast network. They have tons and tons of shows. I think the guy's name is Jonathan something or other who does this show. So there's a ton of them. Some are really good. Some are kind of average. Some are not so great. But if you like radio plays and you need something to listen to for free for the next 6 months,
time.
You can pick up some of these. Yeah. So
193 episodes.
I've gone through, through most of them, but it was just, I'm tired of listening to sort of current events or whatever. Mm. You pop one of these on for your 20 minute walk.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's a nice change of pace.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah, there's tons of podcasts out there that kind of do that thing. Like there's a couple hundred episodes and like a really good story.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not super current newsy where it's outdated like 5 seconds later.
Right.
It's kind of yeah. Cool. Kind of cool.
Yes. Podcasts like this you can listen to 10 years later. It's not a problem. There's a lot of podcasts that even 2 weeks later, like you said.
Yeah, like ours.
Yeah, like this one.
Well, this one actually might be more longer term because
it's kind of... this might have more staying power. You're
yeah,
right.
Yeah, but the news usually doesn't. But you know what has a lot of staying power? TSL host. Our sponsor. So yeah, we have a really, really cool sponsor. I've had them for a couple of years. I don't even remember how long, but it's been a while. They're like just a really good company from the UK. And they offer like hosting, like web hosting. If you need a WordPress site, you don't want to host it yourself. Like they offer that. If you need a domain name or email account, they have that. If you need like us servers, we get for free, which is really nice. 2 really nice servers for the live stream and for our website, and some extra backend stuff that we're doing. For example, I think there's still the Alexa skill. As far as I know, it's still going. I don't know. I haven't checked it out in a while, but I hope it's still okay. You can check out. So there's like I said, tons and tons and tons of really cool stuff that we're doing with the 2 servers. rock solid. Never had a problem with them, except for when I messed something up, which that's usually what happens. It's usually when the website goes down, I messed up. It's never the server. It's just, I don't know, I forgot something or didn't deploy something or something broke. And I have to fix that. As I said, literally the only issue we had was something that, yeah, I think very specific to us. We get a £0 invoice once a year, and the billing system just didn't know how to do that. It was like, oh, you didn't pay your £0 invoice. Yes, so they fixed that very quickly. We reached out. So this was one of the cases where we needed support. We reached out to them, and they were like, oh, yeah, sure, not a problem. We'll fix it for you. We'll be back in a second, and it was.
Yeah.
So
it, probably after laughing hysterically,
probably yes. They're like, oh my god, how did we do that? What do we do now?
That was pretty funny.
Really funny. Yeah,
but a system that doesn't understand. It's no,
because it's not a case that usually happens. Usually you have at least like the invoice usually has at least like a like whatever a P or something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that happened. So yeah, really cool service, and all they want for their sponsorship of this very network and these very shows is that you let the good people out there know that they're sponsoring us and that you're thankful for that. So head over to your social media of choice, wherever that is, and let them know, hey, thank you TSO Host for sponsoring the British Tech Network. And that's all they want, some brand recognition. That's literally all they want, because, I mean, they're also competing against the big companies like AWS and so on out there that are more expensive and bigger and not based in the UK. So that's, I think, a big selling point as well. And the cool thing is, if you need something, like, as I said, hosting, website, anything like that, email, domains, you can use the offer code that Ben put in the chat. Thank you, Ben. BTN20. If you use BTN20, you get 20% off anything that you buy from them. So that's how awesome they are. And you know what's also awesome? The aforementioned chat. And I'm going to call on someone to explain this new chat to us. And I'm going to it's going to be Ian. Because you were looking like it's like, oh, panic! I'm like, yes.
Oh, it's been a child bit. We're looking at teacher.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Classic trick. So our new chat is linked up to the Fediverse for a change. Mm-hmm. It is now live, and it is a much more modern system than our old IRC chat. You just click over to where go to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. I think it's
not
the
quite
place to
get. You can
is
just go. You just go to live.britishtechnetwork.com where we have the live stream, and then there's the chat on the side. Chat. Super easy.
Super easy, and we're in there. You'll see us chatting away. Me pasting things in twice because I'm old and stupid. Those kind of things. So yeah. And that's where you can see each week's. I presume they've been archived in the same way our old system was.
Yes,
Patrice.
They are. They are live even. So that's one of the cool things of this new system. It is literally as you're hitting send, it shows up in the transcript. There's basically no delay, like maybe a couple milliseconds for processing, whatever. But then it literally shows up on the live transcript page. So you can, even if you're not in the chat, you could just go to that page and you would see exactly what refresh a couple of times. You would see what we're talking about. So that's how cool that is. It's a really cool system.
Mm. No, that is really nice. That does save us a lot. No, and we have came away from IRC, which was in the old days.
Yeah, and it was kind of pain and broken half of the time. And it's just hard to do all of that. So if you try to make it easy with chat.britishtechnetwork.com, but it kind of wasn't working. So this is better. And it's like, it's kind of like YouTube or Twitch or whatever. You have the live stream and you have the live chat next to it. So it's quite easy to do. And as you said, it's Fediverse based. So you can log in with your Fediverse account, Mastodon, PixelFed, whatever you have. I haven't checked if Threads works. That would be interesting. I have to check that out. But literally, you click on the purple thing up top and say change name, or you say authenticate. And you can do Fedi auth and put in your Fediverse name, like, for example, I don't know, at Ben Rathick, I think. At, what was it? Tech Hangout.social, probably, I guess.
Yes.
And
well,
then,
you own the domain. Patrice.
Yes, I know. And if you do that, then it will send you like a private message on your account and with a code, and you put the code in, and then it says, hey, now I recognize you, and you get a little bit like a little check mark next to your name. And from that point on, you're, like you said, you don't have to do that ever again. Like, it just recognizes you whenever you come back to the page. It's like, oh, you're back, and just that's it. So it's really cool. Cool solution.
Yeah, that works really well. Yeah.
The random names are fun too, like the Friendly Bartik, for example, that joined us for like a second, or the Blissful Archimedes. But yeah, you can have your own name if you want to.
Yeah, I know I keep joking about this, but they really do sound like Jaeger names from
the Grim. They do. Yeah. Yes.
I would say when Gypsy Danger actually shows up, we'll be having a party.
We will. So I think, we would have some time for some quick, cool things. We're running a little bit behind, but we would have at least a little time.
I think I'll do one here.
Sure.
As soon as I find out about where the right window in my browser is. So,
yeah, that's the difficult part.
This is a little show that wrapped up this week. And it wrapped up fantastically.
Oh.
It is called The Acolyte. It started a little bit slow. And I won't tell you how it ends. But let's just say there is a clear, there's now a clear line between the High Republic novel initiative and The Rise of Skywalker. Because it's not only a murder mystery, but certain things come into focus. You learn about certain characters and why I can't say what cameos there are in the finale.
Oh,
there are some humdingers that you did not expect.
Wow. Okay. Got to check that out.
Yes. So fall to the dark side. And head on over to Disney Plus and watch it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but I'm definitely recommending it because it's not too deep in the whole Star Wars lore where you have to know everything to understand everything. It's kind of a good story and it's a fun story and there's a little bit of everything, so I enjoyed it.
But if you know everything, there are Easter eggs everywhere.
Yeah, that's what I'm expecting. I would never see them. So. Cool. Really good one. And I see that Tom has found one. And so what's your cool thing, Tom?
I'll make this one quick. It's Masters of the Air. It's an Apple TV Plus show about World War II bomber pilots. One of my favorite subjects, World War II. And just to give a dig at Ewan, I'll say it's a story about how the Americans helped the British win the war. That's a joke. That's a joke, Ewan. I don't really mean that. because it's an American production, so the slant is always about how the Americans saved the British.
Of course.
I would say you have to be kind of a World War II, war movie kind of person to like this one. It's pretty good, but what I really like is, like every other Apple show, is the production value is just incredible. Mm-hmm. I'm used to watching World War II movies from the 50s and 60s where, the flying scenes were a little bit rough.
And mostly stock footage.
Mostly stock footage, old grainy stock footage. So, of course, with modern technology, you can do much, much better. And it just gave a better perspective for me about what these young kids flying these planes, getting shot at and dropping bombs, what a horrific thing that was. Gives you some appreciation for what people went through and why we shouldn't have wars, to be honest. Anyway, I thought it was a well produced show. The storyline's pretty good. The acting's pretty good. The script's okay. You know, it's not A plus. I'd give it like a B plus for all that, but the production value for me was A plus.
Something you recommended to me that was a cool thing a while back, which links to our show, The Bomber Mafia.
Right.
That was Malcolm Gladwell about how bombing was planned during the Second World War, the American sort of theory of how they might do it was. Fantastic. Right. That was really interesting.
Yeah, that was wild.
That is pretty crazy. I thought you would pick a different show. But okay. I just saw Masters.
Of I saw your comment. Yeah, I saw your comment.
Yeah. Which was, that was a good show, actually, as well.
Yeah, Masters of the Universe, we have the power.
Got the power. Okay.
Though the one you portrays, but it's pretty good, too.
Yes. Ian, do you have a cool thing for us, or
you're muted? I was fishing around for something, but I haven't.
Okay.
I haven't got anything particular.
Well, I could throw one in. It's another book as well, audio book or book, and it is Star Trek Discovery: The Enterprise War. That's book number 5 in the Discovery series. And so really good books in general, the whole Star Trek books. So I didn't know until recently that was even a thing. This one is about basically the time right around the Battle of the Binary Stars and how the Enterprise was not involved in it. And why? And what happened? And they didn't just stay outside and look at it and say, oh, fun, they're fighting. No, there's stuff that happened. And they were kind of kept away and it kind of also couldn't join for a long time. And by the time they were basically ready, it was over. But it's still a really good, really good story, really interesting story. It learned a lot about like wars, especially, and this kind of a war going on while the other war is going on, and they kind of help resolve it. And it's just a really, really, really good book. And said it's less about Discovery. It plays in the Discovery universe. It's basically before season 2, when then Enterprise shows up in the Discovery universe. With Captain Pike and all of that. So this is a Captain Pike and Spock story and all of that. So if you like those characters, this is the book for you. Star Trek Discovery, The Enterprise War. It's book number 5 in the series. So highly recommend it.
Yeah. Yep. And what I really like about this book kind of sets the table of things that you will see later on in Discovery and Strange New Worlds.
Yes. Very much so.
Like who Pike is.
Mm-hmm.
Why it's, you know, spoilers for Strange New Worlds, why pretty much a decade later, why Pike cannot be in command of the Enterprise.
Yes.
Because he is a very much a peacetime conciliator type.
Yes. Yeah, and it also like it's it's also about Spock, like how Spock goes from let's call it Vulcan, like very logical and very straightforward kind of guy, to the more complex person that we know him later in his life. And also in Discovery, like where he kind of, where you see that change happening. And there's some stuff that happens that kind of changes his perspective on things and shows him that it's not always black or white. And there's other things in life that are important than logic, for example. So, yeah. It's really good, really good, really interesting book. A lot of action happening. So this is a very action-packed book. But it has a good story and it has a good moral at the end. Like I don't want to spoil it. So it's just really good. I don't want to spoil it. There's a really good story at the core that you learn a lot from that. Like said, it's all about wars. That's kind of it. Good. I think then we've successfully done the first Summer of Fun episode. Been a lot of fun.
Yay!
Not a lot of summer as we're here. Well, not a lot, at least in Ian's case. A lot of summer here.
Overcast but humid. Yeah, you can have that if you want.
We have really hot and really humid, like 35 degrees and humid. So that's us.
Humid. But yeah, it's humid now.
That's usually what happens. So I'm going to
move to California.
See, that's a good idea. We should all do that.
I'm going to the pub to meet my friend where I shall drink a nice cold beer.
Oh, that sounds awesome. I don't have beer at home. Maybe I can do something else.
In Austria?
In Austria. I know.
You're fired.
I have wine at home. That counts. Austrian wine. So that's fine. Yeah, Ben, let's start. I'm going to go backwards from where we started in the beginning. And Ben, you can tell the nice people where they can find you, more about you.
Oh, we're always going backwards on this show.
Sure?
you can find me at Ben Rathig on your social media of choice. For my writings, you can find me on RathigTech.com. Or on Tuesday nights, you can find me on this little show called Mac Voices Live with Mr. Chuck Joyner. On Thursday nights tonight, you can find me on In Touch with iOS from Mr. David Ginsburg. And every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network. It still surprises me how you guys can roll your R's and not pronounce them at the end. every Thursday and Friday here on the Big and Mac shows.
Well, I guess we're gonna hear from Ian in a second, like about that. But first, thank you, Tom, for being here from beautiful California, as we just learned, where summer is just beautiful and it never rains. Right, that was the thing.
No, and the wine and beer flows freely, and we don't pay for anything.
That sounds pretty good.
we'll be right there.
We'll be right there. So. So where can people find out more about you?
You can find me on Mastodon, the independent social media network. I am Tom F at sfba.social. Thanks, Patrice.
Thank you. That's always fun. SFBA is such a cool service. The cool server. I like them. And our resident
Tech
British
the socials better.
That's true.
The only British person on the British tech network.
Yes, literally. The resident
British person on the American tech network.
And I'll be leaving this show in your careful hands. So if a listener out there is British and would like to join, I do need a volunteer, somebody else to keep the British side of things up while I'm having some holidays and work trips and all sort of other madness.
Yeah.
So, yes. So please, if other people want to come and join and talk crap with us, please do join us. Yeah. We'd love it.
No prep required. Literally, camera, something that resembles a microphone so we can hear you, and no clue what you're talking about. That's kind of all you
need. Yes. I mean, that's how I got involved in this, man. Yeah.
No, absolutely.
I told you when he was wrong once, and he said, well, come on the show and tell me about it. All right, then.
Yeah.
And so that's how I ended up here, yes.
Yeah.
But anyway, yes. So I normally found in the Slack room here on a Thursday in about a month's time. And otherwise, that's it. Usually, I'm starting to use Threads and Fediverse a bit. I will start appearing there, but until I'm doing it properly, it's not worth mentioning. Otherwise, there's LinkedIn.
It's always worth mentioning.
I'm always LinkedIn, Ian Grant, you'll find me there.
Very good. Very good. Yeah. And there's definitely a slot or two available next week if you want to be on the show, British or not. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, but for sure, we need some Brits on the British Tech Network because they're in short supply these days.
We are.
Yes.
Rare.
We've definitely gone from a predominantly British show to a predominantly American show. Why? Because the Americans show up. So there's a sense. But Ian is here every week, so there's that.
As if you weren't fancy coming and doing a show, best you want to join us for a bit.
Yeah, I should. Mm-hmm. It's summer of fun. There's no preparation required for it. We'll ask him about
it. When is there ever preparation on these shows?
That's true. To be fair, Ewan used to do more preparation. Like, he would at least bring some stories for the Mac show. So,
yes.
Not on the Big Show, because there he just didn't want to do the work. So he was like, hey, you bring stories. I'm like, oh, then. Yeah, that's how it happens. Good. I think that leaves me, right? You can find me usually every week here on the Big Show on Thursdays and on the Mac Show on Fridays. So tomorrow, 4 p.m. UK time, we have the Mac Show where we talk about the Apple side of things or, well, summer fun. So I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We'll see. But there will be a show tomorrow. And I have techhangout.social. That's my Mastodon instance run by me. So if you want to join, ask us for an invite and it will be granted. Very easy. So there's that. I have a really cool new podcast with Mr. Signot, with Jeff Gamet, called Retro Rewatch, where we rewatch awesome retro TV shows like that he should have watched and just never did. And we're rewatching currently Stargate SG-1. We just posted a new episode, Emancipation. I think was it last week? Or was it the week before? See, I don't even remember. It was probably the week before. So there will be a new one this week. I'm not gonna lie, it was kind of one of the worst SG-1 episodes we've watched. Even so far, we've watched a bunch more and we've recorded a bunch more. But we had a lot to say about it. So there's that. It was entertaining to watch it, to dissect it, and to figure out how bad it truly is. So yes, we did that. And we somehow continued. So it
It truly is.
Yes.
Indeed.
It was indeed pretty bad. But as I said, we persisted and we kind of enjoyed it nonetheless. So we continued watching. And we could have stopped at any point and just said, no, it's the SG-1, not worth it. There's a million other shows we could watch. But no, we were like, nope, let's keep going. So we have been going for a little while longer. We'll see. You will figure out how far we're going.
Hallowed is the SG-1.
Oh yes. That is a very deep,
so long since I've watched
very deep reference. Maybe, and I've heard some people have started doing that. They're listening to our show and watching the episode in parallel. Yeah. Highly recommend.
Oh, that's cool.
Do that. Highly recommend it. It's all on I think it's all on Paramount Plus, if I remember correctly. Or Netflix. I don't remember. Honestly, I would have to look it up.
I think it was Netflix, maybe.
I think it might be Netflix, not Paramount. But either way, you will find it somewhere online, and then you can watch it. I'll check it. I'll look it up. I think that's it for this show. Have I forgot anything?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
We've done promises. Goodbyes.
We've done everything. So thank you so much for listening. Have a great summer. We'll be back, as I said, tomorrow for the Mac Show. Another episode of Summer Fun, and we're going to continue through August until we have more news. So whenever that happens, we'll go back. Thank you so much, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.